Well, we just want to look to the Lord this morning, and the Lord's been inspiring me through the week. Last week we spoke about a spiritual person and what it meant to, the Bible talks about ye which are spiritual, and what it means to be a spiritual person. And just through the week I've been inspired by the thought of spiritual people in the Bible and following their faith and their example. And in Hebrews 13 and 7, it tells us, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And I'm just thinking this morning about looking at those examples that have been before us. This morning I want to bring a couple of them out of the Bible. Those examples that the Lord recorded for us. And He did that on purpose so that we could be, we could have that guiding light to follow. And, in 12 and 1 of Hebrews, right there, the chapter before, it tells us, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, it follows the 11th chapter where it speaks of many different ones, just David and Samuel and the prophets. It just speaks of those that by faith they did the will of God, and by faith they lived for God in their time and in their circumstances and all of those things. These ones the Lord recorded for us. And, you know, I think about this morning one other scripture that it talks about something like that was in 2 Timothy, where Paul was writing to Timothy, chapter 1. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You know, he was writing to Timothy there, and my dearly beloved son, he calls him. And, you know, he brings to remembrance to Timothy that there were those that walked before you in faith. And I see that in you too, Timothy. And he said here, I want to just put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You know, I think about the examples, and that they were people just like we are. Everyone that has walked before us were people just like me and you. They weren't super people. They were just people. But some of those people that have walked before us have sought out God, and they have left us a shining example of living for the Lord. And I want to look first in Genesis 5 and 22. And I've always taken note of Enoch and his life. It says very little about Enoch. But you know, Enoch, it says here, Genesis 5 and 22. It says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, Enoch never died a natural death. Enoch walked with God. What's it mean to walk with God? I wonder, you know, what Enoch was like. I wonder what his life was like. But I want to read just a little bit, if I'm not too laborious here, with a little bit of what some of the commentaries said. It says, this is from Clark's here. He walked with God, and it gives the Hebrew word. He set himself to walk. He was fixedly purposed and determined to live to God. Those who are acquainted with the original will at once see that it has this force. You know, sometimes the interpretation, the translation, it says he walked with God. But Clark tells us if you read the original, that it has force to it, that he set himself to walk with God. That it says he was fixedly purposed and determined to live to God. This was a man in his time. You know, he was the seventh from Adam, it says. But there was a lot of wickedness going on in the world at this time. And yet, this man, he sought out God. And it says here a little further, Enoch attained this state of religious and spiritual excellence in a time when, comparatively speaking, there were few helps and no written revelation. Here, then, we cannot but see and admire how mighty the grace of God is and what wonders it works in the behalf of those who are faithful, who set themselves to walk with God. You know, he didn't have the written word. I doubt he had. It doesn't say that he had a place to worship and hundreds of people to worship with and encourage him and camp meetings and all of those things. But Enoch walked with God in his day. In his time, he fixedly set his sights and set his heart that he was going to walk with God and that he was going to know the Lord. You know, how much more today when we have the Spirit of God available to us in a way Enoch didn't. And when we have available to us the Word of God, we can feast on this. We can read the histories. We can see how God worked in the past. But Enoch didn't have all of that. But he walked with God in his time. And he knew the Lord. And he was, I believe, a friend of God. In Matthew Henry, it says here, can two cannot walk together. Well, I'll read a little more. The ungodly and profane are without God in the world. They walk contrary to him, but the godly walk with God, which presupposes reconciliation to God, for two cannot walk together except they be agreed. It includes all the parts and instances of a godly, righteous, and sober life. To walk with God is to set God always before us, and to act as those that are always under his eye. It is to live a life of communion with God, both in ordinances and providences. It is to make God's word our rule, and his glory our end in all our actions. It is to make it our constant care and endeavor in everything to please God, and in nothing to offend him. It is to comply with his will, to concur with his designs. That means to agree with his designs, with the things that he says, the things he's figured out, the things he's designed for us. It is to do that. And to be workers together with him. It is to be followers of him as dear children. You know, this morning, Enoch was one of those kind of people. He set God before him. He served him. And it says in Hebrews 11 and 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, that was Enoch's testimony. And I believe that was God's testimony of Enoch. Enoch pleased God. He had that testimony, and God just took him. He was close to the Lord. He was so close to the Lord that the Lord just loved him. He took him home, and he never saw death like we see death. Enoch didn't see that. He just walked with God. He was a friend of God. Well, the Lord has had plenty of others that he has known that he didn't take that way. But you know, for Enoch, that was his will. And I just want to look at the different things. I wonder what it was like in Enoch's time. I wonder what the world was like. I wonder, we're told about the wickedness of man. It didn't take man very long. In fact, just the second generation, murder came into the world. And then this was the seventh generation. And hundreds of years, this was down the line a little ways. And you know, we see Enoch in the middle of all that, and he walked with God. I just want to challenge us this morning. Let's follow the faith of those that God has given us for examples. We live in a wicked world today. It's getting more wicked, just like it was during his time, probably. And you know, he provided a clear example to us of a man that knew God, that pleased God. He had this testimony that he pleased God, provided that example for us. And he faced all the things we face, a little different, but don't you know, maybe his life wasn't as complicated as our lives, but he faced life too. There's nothing new in that way. You know, I was thinking about another, and I just want to look at a few different ones and how they loved God. But you know what else? God loved them too. There's a reciprocating. God loves us all, but he isn't able to get close to some of us like he wants to. He wants to get real close to us. He wants to be right there in our life. God wants that kind of walk with all of us. But we read about Enoch, and we read what Matthew Henry had to say about those that serve God and to live a life of communion with God. It is to make God's word our rule and his glory our end in all things. Lord, what makes you pleased? What is your word? What brings honor to the name of God? You know, the Lord wants our lives today to not be a life of just barely getting through and hoping I can make heaven. He wants us to bring honor to the Lord, like the things he made everywhere else, like the beautiful trees he's made, like the stars he's made, like the planets, like the little animals, the little things that we know are there that we can't even see. And they bring glory to God. They bring honor that God made those things. And he wants our life to do that too. You know, Daniel was a man that I look at his life, and to me, of all the recorded instances in the Bible, Daniel's one that to me sticks out in his day. We find in Daniel 1 and 8, and I want to just look a little bit at his life. These folks that we're following, it wasn't because they had a perfect life. Daniel was a slave. He was a captive. They went and rooted him out of his land and took him away. I don't know if he was able, I don't know how much of his family was missing. I don't know what his situation was, but he was in a foreign land, a land they hated to be in because there were false gods everywhere. They did things that to Daniel was wrong, was maybe bizarre, was frightening sometimes. And Daniel lived in that place. But you know what? Daniel pleased God. And you look at 1 and 8, and it says here, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now you know, Daniel, I just want to get a little picture of what these folks were, the faith that we're following, the people that we're following. Daniel was concerned about this, the king's meat. That doesn't sound very big. He was concerned about it because he knew that was against the ordinance. What they were doing here was against what God had taught the people of God to do. So it was important to Daniel. And so he purposed in his heart, I'm not going to do that. You know, that's the way God's people are. The faith that we're following, it wasn't just a belief in God. These folks risked their lives. The three Hebrew children, his companions there. And here they were in the king's palace and they find themselves there. God put them there. God had a work for Daniel to do. He was rooted out of his country, out of all his comfort zones and everything, and he was put there, and God had his hand on him. But in that place, he still served God. He didn't just follow in, well, here I am, I just guess I'll do what they do. I can't help it anyway. Daniel purposed something in his heart. Those three Hebrew children, when it came time to, now you all fall down before this great image that I've made. This thing was 90 feet high or so. It was huge. It was magnificent. And everybody else was bowing down. But these people that we're following, they didn't bow down. And they had it settled in their heart. King, you don't need to give us another chance. We're not going to bow down. we're just not going to. You know what? That's who we're following. These folks had some things fixed in their heart and in their life. Whose faith follow? Follow these kind of examples. Put it in our life. We're not just following people that had no character. The Lord took note of these people. He loved them and they loved Him. And Jesus told us a little thing. He said, if you love me, what did He say? Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments if you love me. There's something tied close there, isn't there? We can't serve God and not do His will. We can't serve God and serve ourselves. We serve the Lord or we serve ourselves. You know, in Daniel 10, and I'm going to read a little bit here and there about his life. But I just want to get little pictures, little snippets out of his life here and there. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. You know, it sounds to me like Daniel had called a fast. Now, it doesn't say he didn't eat at all in this fast, but this is what Daniel did here at this time. And it says for 3 whole weeks, he said he didn't eat any pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all. You know what he was doing? He wanted God real bad. He was seeking the Lord. He was looking to Him. Oh God, I need Your help. He was in kind of a desperate situation and faced a lot of things. Now, it starts out here, it says, in the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia. I believe, if what I've read is correct, that this was 2 years after Cyrus gave the order to go back to Jerusalem. I don't know what all Daniel was facing, what all complexities that came up. And Daniel was an old gray head in that. And he was probably having to make decisions and all those things. I don't know what all he was facing here. But you know what he was doing? He was seeking God's mind. He was setting himself to seek the Lord. And it wasn't just a little bit. Daniel wanted the mind of God. He wanted His mind. Whose faith follow? These are the kind of people that we're following, folks. Dropping on down in the 7th verse, and maybe I'll read a little here. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. You know what? At the end of that time, the Lord came and paid him a visit. And it says, I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. And it gives a description, sounds to me like the 1st chapter of Revelations. The Lord visited him, didn't he? And he said here, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. You know, Daniel had some real special experiences here with the Lord that you don't get just casually. But Daniel was a follower of God. He loved God. He wanted to serve God. He wanted his mind in his life. And it goes on, it says, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, listen to what the Lord said to Daniel. I've been amazed at this so many times. I've read this many times. It says, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Listen to those words. That's what the Lord said to Daniel. A man greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Isn't that wonderful how the Lord came and visited him there and gave him a real special visit? And he said, oh, Daniel, you're a man greatly beloved. Did you know the Lord has feelings for us just like we have for him? He loves everybody, but I'm convinced he would like to tell everyone this. He would like to witness to our heart, I love you a whole lot. You're a person, you're very loved. He wants to talk to us on this level. But many of us, if we're not careful, we'll go on through life and not experience some of those deeper places. You know, I don't know what kind of place Daniel was in here that brought him to this kind of need before God. But he just drew real near to the Lord, and the Lord drew real near to him. And then he began to speak to him. Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved. You know, we go back, I believe on down there it says it again, but it does in the 23rd verse. At the beginning, I'm sorry, that was in the 9th chapter also. He had another visit with the Lord in the 9th chapter where he was seeking the Lord. And the Lord told him there also in verse 20, whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. And he began to tell him about the prophecy of the coming of Christ. You know what the Lord began to do? He began to share his mind with Daniel. He began, as a very deep and close friend, he began to reveal things to Daniel in his life. You know, this morning, I've been so challenged. Lord, I want to follow this kind of example. I want to know you like that. I want to draw close to you. Because I believe the Lord wants all of us to have a real close walk with the Lord. The Lord wants all of us to hear him speak to us. We hear the song that says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. And then it goes on to say as if no one else had ever known such a thing. That's the way that kind of relationship is. It feels so, it's personal with the Lord. In 2 and 11, we find another place. And Daniel didn't live a life that was just all smooth. He had some really pretty tough places he was in. And so Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed a dream, and he couldn't remember his dream. And so he brought his wise men and astrologers, and he said, "Now tell me the meaning of my dream." And they said, "Well, king, if you'll tell us your dream, we'll tell you the meaning." And he got angry. And he said, "No, I can't remember the dream. You tell me what I dreamed, or you're all going to die." And so Arioch, the captain of the guard, came to find Daniel and to take him away so they could put him to death. Daniel faced this. That was a frightening thing, I'm sure. It doesn't tell us about Daniel's feelings. It doesn't tell us what he was thinking. It just tells us what happened and Daniel's response to the king. But you know, it says in verse 11 and 12, "It is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." Now, wait a minute. The gods whose dwelling is not with flesh? Daniel knew God. He didn't know the gods they knew, but he knew God, and his dwelling is with flesh, isn't it? And it says, "For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon." And we see what played out here in Daniel's life. And, you know, Daniel, it says then in verse 16, Daniel knew something about God, didn't he? It says, "Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation." He was confident God would help him here. "Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions." Now, who were these men? They were those men that wouldn't bow down to the idol. "That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his.'" You know, one thing you never see in Daniel is he never went and took credit. He always said, it's God that gives these things, O king. "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things." You need anything revealed? He does that. "He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." You know, we find this terrible situation where he was going to lose his life, and they came to get him. And how many times do we find Daniel in those close places? I want to read another place in Daniel 6 and 4 and 5. Now, we're real, every one of us here probably are real familiar with this little story of Daniel in the lion's den. But it says here, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Because it says in the verse before that Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." That ignites jealousy, doesn't it? And we find a real urgency. We got to get rid of this guy. And so it says they sought to find occasion. But it says, "But they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" You know, That was Daniel's life. That was his, he was a faithful man before God. But it's not anything that all of us should not be. He was faithful all the time. There wasn't anything they could bring against him. There wasn't any charges that they could say, this man's got dirt on him here. And we can have him put to death. Why should we have on us either? It's really just serving God. Just doing his will. Daniel wanted to do his will. He was conscientious about the little things as well as the great. In verse 7 it says, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, you know, we know then that because the king went for this, he had to stand by his word. And so he threw Daniel into the den of lions. Daniel faced that. Wonder what Daniel thought when he was going into the den. I wonder if he just figured, well, this is probably the end of me. But he knew God could deliver him, didn't he? In verse 16, the king commanded him to be brought. But I'll tell you what the king said with it. He said, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. The king had a lot of faith, didn't he? I wonder how he had this kind of faith. Because he saw Daniel's connection with God. He saw Daniel walking with the Lord. He saw his life before God. I don't think we're talking about anything out of the ordinary as far as what God wants his people to walk with him. I think we can do that. I know we can. I know we do. And God wants us to walk with him in carefulness and in seeking him and in finding our answers when we need him. Lord, I just need you to help me. And yet Daniel, so many times we find him getting into circumstances. In verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. This is the king unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him was innocency found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. You know, we find that Daniel he told the king there, he said, innocency was found in me, and I haven't done anything to you either. And God came into that den and spent the night with Daniel. He sent his angels to shut the lions' mouths. You know, I don't know what all we find ourselves into, but we live life just like Daniel did. And we find over and over again, circumstances arise. And here they come to take him away to kill him. And then they plot against him. And you know, I can't help but believe Daniel knew they were plotting, even before it came to pass. He knew they were angry with him. They were jealous of him. He suffered from that. He knew that they were facing him with a smile in the hall and conspiring to put him to death behind the doors. He knew that. And he knew that if he went ahead and prayed, that he would be put in the den of lions. He knew all of those things, I'm sure. But you know what? He prayed anyway. Daniel just kept serving God. He didn't know what the end was going to be. He just kept serving the Lord. You know, this morning I just want to challenge us to follow the faith of these ones. They just served the Lord. In their day, I don't believe Daniel thought he was a hero when he was out there for 3 weeks. I don't think Daniel wasn't being a hero. Daniel was in earnest before God. He needed some answers. You know, this morning we're following those kind of people. And we find ourselves all through life coming up against things, a new thing here and then a new thing there. But aren't those places where God wants to meet us? Doesn't he want to meet us there? I just want to, I know there's, we could go on, but I was thinking a little about Abraham also. And you know, it gives us a testimony that Abraham was called the friend of God. And you know, this morning, I just want to challenge us to be a friend of God. Because I don't know what things you are going to face, or me. But I believe this, we can be a friend of God in our day. In our day, we can walk with God. In our day, we can know the Lord. In our day, we can be faithful in the little things. In our day, we can be faithful when it may cost us our life. In our day, we can be faithful when they're conspiring against us. We can be faithful. We can live for the Lord. These were not super stories. They are now because of what God did for them. I'd say there's some super stories here today if we all got up and told the things God had done for us and we began to enumerate. I'd say there's some pretty amazing stories right here. Pretty amazing stories. You know what? Because that's what God is to His people. He delivers His people. He helps us. He allows us to suffer. He allows things, and yet He is God. He is there. And so I just want to encourage us this morning, serve the Lord. Maybe, I don't know if the Lord will have us continue this, but I studied out Abraham too. How God called him, and He told him, I want you to get up, Abraham, and leave this place. And there he was in a wicked place. But he didn't know where he was going to. But he was going to a place that would have been frightening. It was frightening to him. And I'll tell you why I know. Because he made a deal with Sarah, his wife. And he said, wherever we go, you tell them that you're my sister. Now he was. She was a half-sister to Abraham. And that's why Abraham says he did it. But, you know, he made that deal. He was a man of faith. And we call him the father of faith, if you will. Yet Abraham was a man like we. He heard the call of God. He knew he was in the will of God. And yet he had to face those things. And he went in those places and he had some fear. You think Daniel didn't have some fear? You think Daniel didn't have feelings to deal with? Wonder how low Daniel felt when he went out there and took 3 weeks. That's a bunch of time. That's pretty earnest. Because, Lord, I got to have your mind. I have got to have your mind. Daniel felt that way. He was a man like we are. He got desperate. You know, sometimes we feel desperate, don't we? But not without help. And I believe that's the way Daniel felt. He knew God could help him. He knew God would help him. And the Lord did. And you know, this morning, the Lord wants us to know He'll help us too. Paul said that he obtained mercy because when he was persecuting the saints, he did it ignorantly in unbelief. And it goes on to say, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Was Paul a human? Oh yes, he was. Paul was a human. And God found him out there. And He found him just doing exactly opposite what He wanted him to do. But he said, I did it ignorantly. I was thinking I was doing God's will. And so God had mercy on me. And you know, He shows us a pattern. He changed his life, didn't he? He was conscientious before God. He laid down his life for the Lord. He did his will in his life. And we find those ones and we follow their faith. We follow their courage. We follow their example. Not because they were untouched by the world's problems. Not because they were untouched by the issues of life. I've often thought about Joseph. And thought about his life many times. I would love to talk to him. I would love to just talk to him for 10 minutes. There's some things I would love to ask him. I hope I can someday. To ask Joseph, Joseph, how many days did you cry? I wonder how heavy his heart was. He faced that in his life. And yet he held firm because he knew God was. He was a man that kept faith in God, that did his will. And the prison keeper handed the keys over to him. Now, what kind of confidence is that? Because of the life he lived. He lived a life a little bit like Daniel, where they said, you aren't going to find anything on this guy. There isn't any dirt except that he serves God. If you can find something there that will cross the king's commandment, then we've got him. But you won't find any dirt on him because he serves God. You know, this morning, the Lord's looking for a few folks like that too. I just want to challenge us, not that we're not, but just challenge. I've been so challenged by the faith that these men had. Lord, help us to take up our cross and follow you when our life is threatened, when they're talking about us behind our back and smiling to us in our face. Lord, help us to follow you when they threaten to throw us into the furnace and we know we're going. And we know that's the next step and it's coming. And help us to be one of those followers of God as dear children. And I believe what we will find is that it reciprocates. Not only do we love God, he loves us. And if we'll respond to him, we will find that he'll respond to us. And that through those places, we will find God. Amen.